You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My Seven Chakras, episode 236.
Our eyes are not simply viewers, they're also projectors.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body, from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, the show where we dive deep into the ancient world to uncover nuggets of wisdom that will transform your life. So if you are listening for the very first time, then know that you have arrived at the right podcast. My goal with this show and in life is to help you take action. So if you are a regular listener, if you are an action taker, then make sure you help us spread the word of the show by sharing something on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram using the hashtag #MySevenChakras and hashtag #ActionTaker. Hashtag #MySevenChakras and hashtag #ActionTaker. If you learn something new through the show, if you feel a new sense of courage or determination, if you feel a shift, then take a moment to share your feelings on social media. So let's make a positive shift and make good use of social media and help change other people's lives as well. If you are new to the show, then welcome to My Seven Chakras. I also welcome you to our Facebook group called Action Tribe. It's not an open group. You'll have to request access and answer a couple of questions, but I do that to ensure that we have the right people in our tribe. The link you need is mysevenchakras.com/tribe. It's super simple. It's our website /tribe. So that it's easy for you to remember. And with that being said, I'm now ready to bring you our special guest for today. For today's special interview, our guest is Jennifer Taylor. So Jennifer, are you ready to inspire?
Yes, I'm ready to inspire, and thank you so much for having me on.
Wonderful. Jennifer is the CEO of Quantum Touch Inc., an organization that teaches energy healing workshops around the world. Jennifer is an energy healing practitioner and a self-help motivator. While working on people, she started to feel the energy fields emanating from people. She became fascinated by energy healing and studied various energy healing modalities, including Reiki. She met Richard Gordon, the founder of Quantum Touch, at his lecture on Maui. She fell in love with the vision of Quantum Touch and received a very clear message from the universe that energy healing was her true calling. She took over as CEO of Quantum Touch in June 2002. She has been running the company for over 15 years and is excited to talk about effective ways to grow a business even in difficult times. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us once again today.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So Action Tribe, this is Jennifer's second appearance on our show. The first time she appeared was way back on episode 131. And today we're recording episode 236. So that's over 100 episodes. If you want to catch up and make sure you listen to her first episode, which you can do so by visiting mysevenchakras.com/131. That's mysevenchakras.com/131. But if you are a regular listener and you have listened to that first episode, then let's begin. Jennifer, let's begin with a dose of some inspiration. What is your favorite inspirational quote, and how does that apply in your life?
Well, my favorite inspirational quote change on a daily basis. And today, since I'm musing upon the law of attraction, the quote that I want to present today is when Jim Carrey said, "Our eyes are not simply viewers, they're also projectors," meaning that we create our experience based on our own energy. And I've been focusing on that today of how do we actually create our reality. And I love that quote. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. I love Jim Carrey. It's so fascinating. When I was a kid, I used to love him for his movies, which is like Ace Ventura and all those, and The Mask and stuff like that. And it's so fascinating that over the years, he has become more and more spiritual. And I love his speeches and his quotes. Our eyes are not just viewers. They're also projectors. Action Tribe, keep in mind your thoughts, your emotions, all of that contribute to your own version of reality. So keep that in mind as you listen to this episode and some of the amazing insights and nuggets that you can use in your life as well. So Jennifer, let's dive in. For someone who might not have heard about quantum touch before, what exactly is quantum touch?
Now, quantum touch is a modality. It's like some of those other modalities out there like Reiki or healing touch or anything that works with the life force energy to facilitate healing. And I think a lot of people out there aren't quite yet familiar with the idea of life force energy. So I'll just delve into a little explanation of what is energy.
Sure.
So energy, I believe personally that energy is who we are as spirit and who we are as body integrated into a field. And so what that really means is that at every moment of our day, like our physical reality is a reflection of the patterning, the energetic patterning within ourselves. So, and I believe that's a reflection of our spiritual nature, our true calling in life, our what our soul path is, also like what's going on physically, our physical vibration, our diet, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, this huge mesh of who we are. And so energy medicine strives to address our energetic being. And that includes, you know, what is our spirit doing? And what's going on with our body from a vibrational perspective. So it's a wonderful modality because a lot of times because we get to the root patterning behind an issue, the issue usually resolves. So let's say you have knee pain, you know, so one solution to knee pain is just take a bunch of medication and you know, cover up the pain. That's one solution. And usually what I've found with that solution is taking pain medication is usually temporary. Either the body will adjust to it or the pain comes back when you stop taking it. So really what you want to do is get to the root cause, like figure out what's really going on with your knee. And what we've discovered is a lot of times there's a vibrational frequency behind the pain that when we uncover and get to the root of, we can shift it and then the pain goes away. And that's what I mean, that we create our reality based on our vibration because that's really generating the knee pain. And I love getting to the root cause of that kind of stuff.
Got it. Thanks a lot for sharing. There you go, Action Tribe. It is a modality. And life force energy is who we are as spirit and body integrated into a field. So I love that definition. It's like the electricity of life that flows through us, giving us life. And all our thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever we eat, our diet, all of that affects our life force and our overall vibration. So Jennifer, taking a couple of steps back, going back in the past, how did you first hear about quantum touch?
So I first actually heard about quantum touch when I saw on a website that Richard Gordon, who's the founder, was giving a lecture on Maui. And I was just surfing the web at work. Because I was really interested in energy medicine and I was doing what I was not supposed to be doing, which was playing around at work. And I saw this lecture and I'm like, oh, I better go because I was really drawn to go. And so that's how I first discovered it. I met Richard at the lecture and that was in 2002.
Wonderful. So you took action towards, you know, wherever you want to. You wanted to head, right? You felt that there was something missing and you were surfing, you know, the website. And it's wonderful that you were actually in Hawaii, right? So surf is very synonymous with Hawaii, but you were surfing the interwebs and you ended up at the workshop where you met Richard Gordon. So you've been running Quantum Touch for, I think, over 15 years now. So what has the experience been like for you? What has the experience of running this company been like?
The experience has been very difficult, especially with the money piece. Mm-hmm. I was really believing that if you do what you love, the money will come. And I was following my heart and doing my passion. And I was really struggling with money. In fact, I managed to dig myself into a hole of $135,000 of debt, both with my personal debt and business. Mm. So even though I was following my heart and I loved what I was doing, I was struggling with the business side immensely. And that was the big challenge. So now I personally believe that challenges aren't there to completely discourage us and say, okay, you should quit. I believe challenges are there, especially when you're following your heart and doing your passion. I believe challenges show up as a way to help us grow, not as a way to discourage us, although it can be discouraging.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm sure many of our listeners right now are facing or confronting some sort of challenge or the other, whether it's financial or health or relationship. But so true, challenges come in our life for a reason, to help us grow. Now, you know, on that very note, talk to us about how did you end up getting the role of CEO for running Quantum Touch? What's the story behind that?
Okay, so after I met Richard at the lecture in Maui in 2002, I received a message from the universe. The universe said, by the way, you're supposed to be running his company. That's your next life path.
Yeah.
And it was a bit insane because, first of all, I didn't know Richard that well. In fact, I just met him.
Yeah.
So it would kind of seem kind of weird to go up to Richard and say, hey, by the way, I'm your new CEO. So that was kind of weird. The other thing was that I didn't know if Quantum Touch had any job openings. And then I actually did have a job at the time. I was working in software on Maui, writing software. So, you know, I was a little hesitant to leave my job. It was really secure. I had a lot of, you know, I got paid really well.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I didn't know how to make that happen, really. But I kept on following, you know, my guidance. Mm-hmm. And so I started hanging out with Richard, and then Richard and I started a relationship. And so I moved in with him in Santa Cruz, California. Mm-hmm. So I left Maui. I quit my job, moved in with him. I was just following my heart. I just kept on following my heart. And after about a month of living with him, the person who was running Quantum Touch at the time said, you know, I need to quit because Quantum Touch is failing. And I need to get a secure job. And Quantum Touch was on the verge of going out of business. I mean, it was really struggling. So she asked me, she said, would you like to take over as CEO? And I said, sure, why not? So that's how it started. And it was definitely, I adopted a failing company basically to start.
Got it. And of course, as on today, it's such a huge company with a global community of over 50,000 people. So how many employees are there at Quantum Touch as on today?
Let's see. We have three basically full-time employees.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of different international liaisons who are contractors. And we have also a couple of contractors in our curriculum development. So we have quite a few people involved. If I had to count, at least like 11, maybe 12 or 13 people who work for us. So it's definitely grown for sure.
Got it. So of course, loads of growth over the last 15 years. My question is, what were some of the keys to growing the Quantum Touch movement? What are some of the things you focused on early on that helped it get to where it is now? Because like you mentioned, when you sort of came in, it was facing a lot of challenges, especially financial challenges. So what were some of the keys from your perspective to growing the Quantum Touch movement?
So the key, I feel like, to basically any problem, which I learned to apply with Quantum Touch, is what I call the victim-owner dichotomy, meaning that it's the willingness to take ownership of everything and stepping away from being a victim. So my first response to problems is like, oh, why me? This sucks. You know, it totally sucks. Like, I'm suffering here, and it's someone else's fault. It's the universe's fault, or it's my business partner's fault, or it's my employee's fault, or blaming everything for the problem. And I did that a lot initially because it was always seemed like the problem was beyond my control. Yeah. I blame the universe. You know, I blame the universe saying, all right, universe, you're supposed to support me. Come on.
Yeah.
And so that was the first issue I had to overcome was if when there's any problem, whether it's employee drama or financial problems, is taking ownership of it. And that means, for example, recently I had a little bit of drama with a couple employees. And instead of saying, all right, you guys, sort it out yourselves, I looked at myself and said, well, why is there drama? Like, how did I contribute to drama among employees? And I realized that what the problem was that our process wasn't well-defined, creating drama. So it's really like taking ownership at that level, is like looking at if there's anything going on, even if it seems unrelated to you specifically. So if it's still, like as a business owner, if there's drama in your company and you're not directly involved, still taking a look at that, saying, well, how did I contribute to that? And you'll notice that if you trace it back, it can usually be rectified from your position as the owner, even if it seems somewhat unrelated. And money is the same way. I think a lot of people out there are feeling like they have no way. There's like no hope. Like they've lost hope. There's like they're stuck. Like it's the system or taxes or President Trump in the United States or, you know, whatever. There's something to blame or their job doesn't pay enough or housing costs are too high or like all that stuff. If you step out of that blame and realize, wait a minute, I got this. You know, I can. I'm responsible for every penny I spend. I'm responsible for every penny I earn. And learning, really taking ownership of that. That was the biggest way that I learned to effectively face challenges was really taking ownership for every aspect. Can't even blame the IRS. Can't blame the government. You know, you can't blame the stock market. You know, you got to get out of that blame mode no matter what's going on. Even you can't blame a flood, you know, or a tsunami or a hurricane. Really get out of that blame no matter, even if it seems insurmountable, step out of the blame thing. That was my biggest lesson.
Got it. Thanks a lot for sharing the victim owner dichotomy. Action Tribe, think about it in your life as well. There's a tendency to blame somebody else for the problem because like Jennifer shared, the problem sometimes, especially when it seems beyond our control, maybe the IRS or the government or, you know, policies or things that are beyond our control, you know, it feels like you're helpless. But as soon as you take ownership of everything around you and you try to find out, you know, what in the problem may be stemming from me, that's when you feel more empowered and you can actually tackle the problem. I love the example that you shared, Jennifer, about the employee drama. Instead of asking the employees to sort it out themselves, what you sort of try to figure out is what is the root cause of this issue? You know, you got involved yourself and you took ownership of it and you realize that, in fact, it's not a personal problem or an employee problem. It's a process-driven problem. And by solving the process, you're able to overcome the drama and also ensure that it doesn't happen in the future, right? Because as long as people follow a process, everything seems all right. So thanks a lot for sharing that.
Yeah, that's a big thing with business. There's a lot of times, you know, there's a tendency sometimes to really... I don't know, like in the past, I used to do this more. I'd go into more blame with the employees. Something like, oh, they did that wrong. Why weren't they paying attention? Or, you know what I mean? I would have the wrong thought about, you know, putting the blame on the employees. And now it's like, oh, they didn't do that correctly. Where did I fail to train them? Because, you know, they're good people. I mean, if you think about it, everyone you work with, you know, they're good people. You hired them for a reason. So it's usually not anything that they're doing, it's usually some kind of process that you set forward that was incorrect or a gap in the training or, you know, so getting out of that blame thing and realizing that, that's your fault. You know, it's like, yep, I didn't train that person.
But also as a CEO and as a leader, that does not come really easily, right? I mean, it's really easy to blame, but what you have done effectively is that you are trying to figure out the experience that the employee is facing by, you know, getting into his or her shoes. So that requires a lot of empathy, isn't it?
I believe that when you can look at somebody else and how they approach life from their perspective, whether it be your partner or your pet or your employee, you know, and try to understand, like, you know, why did that person do that. They were, you know, they're good people, right? It's not like you've hired a bad person or an irresponsible person. It's like, why would a good, decent, kind-hearted person do that? Or why would my pet like poop on my floor? Or, you know, when something happens that you don't like, why would that person do that? There's usually a very reasonable explanation for it. When you get into their head, there's usually a very, like, they were acting, they were trying to do their job. Basically, they're trying to do their job.
Yep.
And they were just not, you know, you didn't define it properly as a boss. That's usually what the problem is. So.
Got it. Really valuable. Now, from talking about processes and the operational side of things, I want to talk about the marketing, because I'm sure that from a marketing standpoint, it's critical to have those advocates and those people who are interested in learning about quantum touch, maybe reading the books or taking the workshops, the wonderful workshops. So, what methods or platforms do you currently use to sort of spread the word of quantum touch to your global community currently?
Well, marketing is such a great question. Thanks for asking about marketing. I believe that everyone who does marketing, because marketing is a piece of business, but only do marketing stuff that you actually love to do. So let me give you an example.
Sure.
There's a lot of different techniques out there that talk about, you know, doing sales funnels or using Kajabi or other things that work the process. Now, I believe that if somebody's really drawn to do that, that's awesome, you know. But I think what happens, a lot of people say, like, "Oh God, I gotta do this. I gotta create this platform, and I gotta do this." And they don't really want to do it.
Yeah.
And I found that when you're working with higher energies and spiritual energies, that if you're doing something with marketing you don't really want to do, it's usually pretty ineffective. And I think that's where people get frustrated, because they look at marketing and say, "Well, it worked for that person, but it failed for me, so what's going on?" And I believe, and I've learned personally, that when I've done marketing stuff I didn't really want to do, it just didn't really work anyways. So I just was wasting my time, because if your heart's not behind it, people know that. You know, people feel, "Oh God, that person's not really into it." So now for marketing, I just do stuff I like to do. And personally, what I like to do is radio shows. I love radio and interviews, and it's super fun. And so does my business partner, Richard. He loves shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of radio promotion, and that seems to work really well. And another thing that I like to do, but not everyone may like to do this, is email promotion. I believe it can be really effective if you love it, is, you know, mailing out to your community fun messages or upcoming things. I personally love it, and I think it's really effective. So, but people may like other things. Some people may enjoy connecting personally to people. Like, let's say you're trying to build a practice. Maybe you like to go out and just meet people. Like, you're at a party and you meet people. That can be really effective if you like it. I'm personally not into that as much, but I mean, there's a good marketing technique for everyone.
Got it.
So, yeah. So when I stopped trying to fight it and stopped trying to do things I didn't really enjoy, our business actually did better, you know, did better.
Got it. So many things over here. Thanks a lot for sharing. And it's so true, you know, in the marketing world, there are so many ways in which you can get your word out. And it seems like there is a expert for everything. So you have people talking about funnels or Facebook marketing or Instagram marketing or Pinterest marketing, you know, interviews, email promotions, and also selling from the stage or marketing from the stage, right? And I think what you really touched on is the fact that you need to analyze all these different marketing modalities and then find out which one resonates with you and your style the most. And for me, early on, you know, I also love doing interviews. I love doing radio shows. I wasn't that inclined towards blog writing initially, you know, and so I realized that by me talking and interacting and making connections, that's what I really love to do. And that's what I focused on. And in your case, it seemed like you and Richard also love radio shows and interviews. And that's why you're on this show, which is just a wonderful way of really connecting with the listener through stories and trials and challenges and what, you know, what you found out was working and versus what's not. So I love the narrative way of sharing your story on radios. And you said that you love email promotions as well, you know, mailing out fun messages, talking about quantum touch, sharing stories and events and things like that. So there you go, Action Tribe. If you are looking to grow your business, you don't have to do everything. Find out what modality works for you and then just learn it and do it. So thanks for sharing that, Jennifer.
Yeah, I love that because some people don't like email marketing, or some people don't. No, I personally don't like sales funnels. Never got into it. And so I don't force myself to do those anymore, you know? So whatever resonates.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about the jump that you made now, and you've alluded to that, before in this interview, the fact that you were in software engineering before, and then you made a shift to energy medicine and sort of human engineering, right? So what were your thoughts behind that? How did you make that jump from software engineering to energy medicine, energy healing?
Yeah, so basically, when I started out, I started working as a software developer, and I got a degree in computer science. Okay. And what I noticed right away is I didn't really like my job. And it just wasn't a really good fit. And some people love software. And I had great bosses and great situations. I just personally didn't love the work. And I felt like there was something else I was supposed to be doing with my life. I felt like I had some true calling. I'm sure all of us feel that way on some level, that there's we have a purpose. Mm. And I felt like I wasn't living my purpose. So that was kind of the underpinnings of making it easy to leave, because I really wasn't resonating with my job as my true purpose in life, and I knew it was out there. So when I got into energy medicine, I went to massage school and I started that, and I really got into energy medicine. I loved it. And I really understood that energy medicine was my life purpose. So here I was doing software, which wasn't, feeling drawn on a heart level towards energy medicine. And so it made it easy for me to jump, because when the opportunity arose, I was ready. I knew what my purpose was. I knew that jumping into energy medicine would be fulfilling my life purpose. So, and I was also depressed at my job. So making that jump into energy medicine was fairly easy for me, because I just was so unhappy that I was ready to go.
Got it. Thanks for sharing. Now, on the same point, the world of energy medicine has changed over the last 15 years, and people have become more receptive than ever to alternative healing and medicine. But did you ever doubt or second guess your move, after entering the field, before entering the energy medicine field, where you were in between, sort of you had to make a decision. Did you ever doubt or second guess your decision to get into energy medicine?
From a heart level, no. I knew it was my life calling, so I never doubted my decision to go into energy medicine. However, when I started running into trouble with money, I started to doubt it then. But more from a logic level, from this perspective of I should really get a real job and secure my future. So from an intellectual level, I've had doubts, but from a heart level, I knew I was doing the right thing, and I still feel that way. No matter what challenge comes along, I feel like I'm really on my life path.
Got it. Now talking about challenges, you did suggest that, the quantum touch, and you did face some challenges early on. What has been some of the more challenging or maybe a difficult situation for the company and yourself in all these years?
Well, there's been two challenges overall. One has been the financial challenge of running out of money, going into debt, struggling with money. That has been a big theme with me. The other challenge is working with people and what happens when there's drama. And so that's a whole other side, working with drama and people and customers. So those have been the two major, areas of growth for me, is what do you do with the money and how do you work with the people so you're not just constantly dealing with drama all day.
Got it. And moving from challenges to something that has been rewarding for you over the years as the CEO, what has been the most rewarding experience for you at Quantum Touch?
The most rewarding experience is actually when I get a chance to travel and see how it affects people. Because sometimes when you're sitting at your office, you don't always see the full impact. But when you have, recently we went to Hong Kong, and there was this mom who was holding her baby, and she was so grateful because what she learned through energy healing helped save the baby's life.
Yeah.
And she came to us in tears, and we got to hold her baby, and we were just oh my gosh, we didn't even know the impact. Mm-hmm. And then we had this amazing experience. This lady was super grateful. So it's that actually is what I really thought, to see somebody's eyes light up and know that we've helped them along their way. That's the most amazing part.
Oh, that's so amazing. And I think quantum touch itself is such a powerful modality. I myself have been able to, you know, reduce people's pain, reduce people's headache, back pain, and not just face to face, you know, across distances. And sometimes it's difficult to really believe it until you've done it. And sometimes the other person encourages you because they know the pain that they felt and how it is reduced. So for me, it is with every healing that I do, I gain more and more confidence in not only in quantum touch, but also in myself to be able to hold that energy field so that the person can heal. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, you know, because also it gets to the root cause of the problem, which I love. That's one of the big things that I'm really into is let's understand and pick it apart and like fix it. Instead of covering up, you know, and like for example, when I deal with housing, right? I'm the person that just slaps a new coat of paint over a broken wall or a problem. Like I'm like digging through the wall, figuring out why is this broken?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm like the homeowner, you know, that makes sure everything's fixed. So same thing, you know, with the body, you know, like if you have a rash, for example, you know, why is your body doing that? For me, that's an interesting question. And I like to really understand like, well, what's going on under the surface? Like, why is your body reacting? Or instead of just, you know, doing a temporary fix or slapping a lotion on there, really understanding like, well, why did my body react that way?
Yeah.
It's a clue, you know? So I love that kind of stuff.
So there you go, Action Tribe. Your body leaves clues. Any emotional challenge or mental challenge, if not taken action towards, can lead to a physical manifestation of the problem. And that is your body telling you to pay more attention to that, you know, to that root cause. So once you find the clue and you resolve that root cause, that's when things can become much better. You feel better. You feel healthier as well. Now, Jennifer, you shared a bit before in the show that you had gone through some financial challenges and debt. I think that was above $130,000. And many of our listeners actually are going through some sort of financial challenge in their life as well. You know, either it's you know, a debt, an educational debt, or maybe a mortgage. So people. And debt can be a huge burden on a person, you know, limiting the ability of them to take action in their lives, to experience happiness, maybe to travel or to really, you know, spend more quality time with their families. So when you were going through that financial challenge, you know, how did you, what steps did you take to overcome it? Or what were you telling yourself about the situation that helped you really, you know, overcome that financial challenge?
So debt. Yes, I was $135,000 of debt, both in business and personal. And now I have no debt and I have a bunch of savings. So I turned it around.
Wow. Amazing.
I only figured that out in the last, I turned it around in the last 4 years. In the last 4 years, I paid off all that debt and then I have like a year of expenses and savings now. So, before I was just hanging out in debt, so I wasn't really getting to the root cause of the problem until I figured out why did I have debt in the first place, and really examine that, like what created the debt. And so the first thing that I had to work with, which I mentioned earlier, was feeling like a victim. I did feel like a victim. I mostly felt like a victim to God. I, you know, my script that I said was, well, here I am, God, I'm doing my life purpose. You know, why is it a struggle? I mean, I thought if I did my life purpose, everything would just flow. And then I felt like victimized by the universe because I had debt. And so the first step was really unraveling my victim consciousness and saying, all right, I'm going to stop being a victim. Because what happens when you're a victim is it paralyzes you to really take any action because you're just waiting for someone else to fix it, right? In my case, I was just waiting for the universe to fix it. And I wasn't changing anything. And obviously, if you don't change anything, then you're just going to end up, you know, with the same problem 10 years later, right?
Yeah.
So when I stopped feeling like a victim, when I stopped telling myself victim-y stories, I actually then was able to start actually saying, all right, I need to make a change because nothing else is going to change for me. It's me. I got to change.
Yeah.
So then I looked at, all right, so debt means that you're overspending or earning. It's kind of, you know, either one or both. So then I had to examine the root cause. Now I tackled my spending first because for me that was easier to do, but it was basically just something's out of balance with your finances.
Sure.
Under earning. So I decided to tackle the spending first because I realized that I had debt because I spent more than I made.
Right.
So what I started to do was saying, well, why do I spend more than I make? Why am I spending more? And again, it's not because you're a victim of anything or circumstances or housing costs. It's you're choosing to spend more than you make. And I had to look at my life and say, wow, I'm spending way too much on housing for what I make. You know, so look at what you make now. And I had to come to some terms with things like I'm spending too much on housing. And I said, I need to simplify my life and cut back on what I'm spending. Now, it doesn't mean suffering necessarily, but I realized that I spent money on a lot of things that had very little meaning to me. And that was my biggest problem. So, for example, let's look at housing. I had a much bigger place to live than I needed or had meaning. Like, I realized, like, I'm much happier in a smaller place for me personally. And so I cut back on my housing and pared it down and like having a smaller place. So to me, that was one issue. I was paying for a lot of things I didn't really need or even like. So another example is for me, I was buying a lot of things that really, I was trying to fill some kind of void emotionally by buying stuff.
Right.
I'd buy clothes, I'd buy shoes, I'd buy more food than I needed. I was always trying to fill something by overspending.
Right.
For some people, it's electronics. For some people, it's that one thing that you always buy over and over again that you maybe even not even conscious of.
Right.
And so it's like getting a level of awareness, like, am I buying something because I feel lonely or am I buying something because I love it? And if you, and I realized if I only spent money on things I actually loved, I'd be spending a lot less money. So when I started to take that attitude of, well, let's really look at, am I spending money on things that I love or am I just wasting money on things I don't even use or enjoy? And it really naturally cut back my expenses because I started to fill my life with things that I love rather than just things. That was a big learning curve for me. And same with business. You know, let's look at business.
Yeah.
Am I spending money on marketing campaigns that I don't enjoy, don't really love, don't really resonate with? Because you can spend a lot of money on business tools. And the question is it something you really love? And when I started to look at that and said, well, I don't really want to do the sales funnel or spend this amount of money on this program to do the sales funnel. And I don't really want this conferencing tool because I really don't love it. You know, I started to look at the business from that angle as the owner or, you know, this employee and I, we don't resonate with each other very well. This isn't the right match. You had to look at the tough questions too. And I started to go through and say, you know, what areas don't work? What areas am I spending money on that don't really work? And I naturally cut back a lot, you know, doing that. So that was a spending piece. Now, interesting enough, here's what I got really interesting. When I started like naturally cutting my expenses to a level where I started living below my means. And believe me, it wasn't that painful. Actually, it simplified my life. I started earning more. It was almost like I showed the universe, wow, I'm able to live within my means. See, I can be responsible with money. And the universe is saying, all right, great, we'll give you more. So it's kind of like balance what you have, love what you do have. It's almost like practice gratitude, but with spending.
Right.
You know, spend only what you love, have gratitude for what we spend on, and the universe will eventually say, all right, we see that you're responsible. Here's more money. At least that's how it works for me.
I think there are loads of things to learn from you, the story that you just shared. And thanks for sharing it or breaking it down on the personal front as well as on the business front. But initially, like you've shared, you felt like a victim, like you were doing whatever you had to do or was supposed to do. And you were waiting for the universe to help you or to sort out the issue. And you had sort of like a victim consciousness, like you mentioned. And what you realized was that at a certain point, you would have to take proactive measures, take ownership of the situation that you were in. And you sort of looked at debt in a whole new way. You sort of really tried to figure out what it really means. And you found out, I love the way that you broke it down. You said that you either were overspending or you were not earning that much, right? So either it was an issue with the expenses or the revenues on a personal as well as on the business front. And you went to the root cause, right? And you found out, or you try to find out, was it a choice or was it necessity, and you realize that you were spending too much on housing. You ask yourself these series of really profound questions that led you to making the right decisions. And you found out on your quest of getting out of this debt, you found out that you were making these purchase decisions that were not really adding meaning to your life. They were just filling an emotional void. Purchases like clothes and food and shoes, and you sort of try to figure out what is that void, and then you realize that the solution would be to actually cut down on your expenses. And what I found really interesting was the more that you started cutting down on these unnecessary expenses, the more that you started living below your means, you won the trust of the universe, and then you started earning more. So thanks a lot for sharing. Really, really resonated with me.
Yeah, and you know, it's really interesting. That void, right? Trying to fill that void, spending money to try to fill a void. You know, I wouldn't say that necessarily I have filled that void but just at least don't spend money trying to fill that void. You know, right. Sometimes I feel lonely. I may feel lonely still. It's not to say that now I'm all happy all the time, right? I'm not saying like I'm certainly not perfect and happy all the time. But what I'm saying is when I'm unhappy, I rest in that feeling rather than trying to fix it with an expense or a piece of chocolate cake or something, right? So
absolutely.
Because it's like it's okay to be unhappy, even if you're spiritually in a spiritual community or even teaching people spiritual things. You know, we have our human side, and I think all the people that are out there teaching energy medicine or other modalities, we deserve to be human as well and say, all right, we're having an unhappy day. Yeah, it's okay. Giving ourselves permission to be real rather than saying, I'm going to fake it. I'm going to fake that I'm happy.
Yep, absolutely. So there you go, Action Tribe. Now is a great moment to really assess your life from the financial perspective. You might be financially independent, but especially if you are not, then try to figure out what are the expenses in your life and what are the necessary ones versus what are the ones that are really filling that emotional void. Or maybe in the business front as well, are there any marketing campaigns that you are spending money on that aren't really resonating with you, aren't really giving you that reach or that exposure that you want? Are you spending on tools, marketing tools, softwares that you don't really need that are charging you each and every month automatically on your credit card? Or are you doing any activities, marketing activities that aren't really growing you? You know, so cut them down, reduce and focus and be more mindful in that space. So thanks a lot for sharing those really amazing recommendations. Jennifer, for someone listening to the show right now who either has a small business or wants to start a business, what are some key foundations for that person to run a successful company like Quantum Touch?
So, I believe that the key foundations to a successful business are, first of all, getting the finances aligned. So understanding like how much you're bringing in, how much you're spending, and really get that sorted out so that you're making a little profit. And because finances, I think, is the most stressful part of the business for most people. And it's also why businesses fail. So I think one of the biggest mistakes I made is initially building up too much infrastructure before we were ready, before sales matched it. So that can be like meaning like I did too many websites, too much office, too much office equipment, too much electronics, too much stuff before we actually had the amount of revenue coming in to justify it. And and it also depends, business can take a little funding to start, but I would say like be as conservative as you can with infrastructure, because infrastructure can be really addicting, because we want to believe as business owners that we're optimists and that is going to grow and fit into a larger infrastructure. So it's finding that balance of saying, all right, I want it to grow here. It'd be nice to build an infrastructure to support 50 employees, but we have one employee right now. So building a lot of infrastructure right away, I felt like is where I went wrong. So that's one area to really look at. And another area is, I mean, I could go on for hours, but another area is like building your team of people. And this is another thing that's really essential, is that because if you have a great team of people, great employees that resonate with your vision, it'll save you a lot of drama, hassle, and hiring and firing people can be really expensive and emotionally taxing. So basically, obviously the idea is to avoid firing people as well. So, so if, and here's an example that I use, and I actually have a free business tool on my blog that I can give people that talks about how to hire people. Because I think a lot of my old tendency was to look at their resume and look at, well, are they qualified? Look at them on paper. But I made the mistake of hiring people in the past that looked good on paper, but I didn't feel good around. They weren't the right. I wasn't personally resonating with them. Like, their energy just didn't feel right to me. But I'd say, oh, but they're great on paper, and I'm desperate for an employee, so I'll hire you anyways. That was my hiring mistake. And also, using expensive recruiting agencies, I realized that I didn't need an expensive recruiting agency because a lot of people on my own mailing list would love to work for us.
Your own community.
So that was one area. My own community. Yeah. So instead of trying to recruit people, right, one of the things that I did was starting to look in my own community of people that would stand out energetically. Like, it was almost like the universe said, this person would make a great employee. Why don't you check in with them, see if they need a job? And a lot of times when I checked in with people, they're like, yeah, I'd love a job. So feeling into the people around you rather than trying to recruit could be another thing. And I have all this information actually about hiring and firing on my blog at JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. And I have a whole free thing. It used to be paid, but I have a whole free thing on building a team. It's a video and book, ebook, like an ebook. It's all free just because I did it a while ago. And I really resonate with my position on how to hire people. Super important.
Got it. We'll definitely have that link up in the show notes. That's JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. That's where you can get all this abundant, amazing information about how to start a business and how to hire the right people. And to access the show notes of whatever we've discussed today on this episode, to read the inspirational quote, book recommendations, and other nuggets, go to my7chakras.com/236. That's my7chakras.com/236. Action Tribe, I hope you're taking notes because Jennifer is sharing some really amazing stuff today. If there was something that really resonated with you, then make sure you share, you know, your statement or your message on social media. What was your biggest takeaway that was shared on this episode so far? What did you learn so far? Share it on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram using the hashtag #My7Chakras and hashtag Action Tribe. That's #My7Chakras and hashtag Action Tribe so that I can connect with you on social media as well. Now, before we move on, I want to commend you on the action that you've taken so far. Many of you have been on this journey with me since the very beginning of our show a few years back, and many of you have joined more recently. But no matter where you are in life, I totally respect you. It's not easy to make a change in your life, especially when the circumstances are hard. Maybe you don't have the right finances, health challenges around you. Maybe you don't have a supportive partner or friends or family. And maybe you've been trying to form a new habit again and again and again, but you keep sliding back. The very fact that you are listening to this episode means that you are an action taker. So never give up, and remember that your challenges and your suffering and your trials are in fact gifts in your life. Challenges are only temporary, because with every challenge, with every trying moment, with every disappointment, you are getting closer and closer to your destination. If you can't find the answer, read a book, take a course like we're learning today, ask a person, hire a coach, or even ask your higher self, your intuition. There is always a way out. So be patient with yourself and kind to yourself as well, because this journey that you are on is beautiful. And like Henry David Thoreau once so eloquently put, not until we are lost do we begin to understand ourselves. So Jennifer, as on today, what is your life calling?
My is energy medicine, and also connecting people with their guidance coming from their heart, which I believe is really where it's all at for me. It's helping people connect to their true heart, their truth.
And with that, we've arrived at the last round for today, which is called the wisdom round. Comprises of four questions so that our listeners can take note and take action. So what is the best advice that someone has ever given you, Jennifer?
The best advice is to follow your heart.
Name one personal habit that keeps you going.
Personal habit that I do that keeps me going is I really spend every day at least a few minutes connecting in with what my heart's trying to tell me. So feeling into my heart and letting, I guess it's my own heart meditation where I connect in and download messages. And so important.
And do you have a morning routine? What do you do during the first hour of your day?
It's actually very short. I set the intention for the day. Like, what's the one thing that I want to accomplish? And I don't set pretty mile long to-do list, but I set like basically one major goal for the day.
Awesome. So name one book that you'd like to recommend for our listeners today.
Since we talked about money today, one of the books that I love on this topic, actually it's on financial independence, it's called Your Money or Your Life. It's an amazing book on how to spend money where it has meaning for you, and definitely been an inspiring book for me.
Got it. So thanks for sharing. Action Tribe, I know how much you love our book recommendations, and I know that many of you get these books as soon as you hear them shared on the show. And that's why Audible.com is offering Action Tribe one free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so that you can get to check out their amazing service. Now, in case you haven't heard about this company, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your devices, iPhone, Android, or Kindle, including bestsellers like The Chakra System by Anadia Judith, Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, and A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. To download your free audiobook and start listening to a book instead of reading a book, go to my7chakras.com/freebook. That's my7chakras.com/freebook. I absolutely love listening to books these days because it's really easy while going to work or on your, you know, when you're traveling or outdoors instead of reading a book. So once again, the link is my7chakras.com/freebook. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for sharing those incredible stories and those nuggets of wisdom that our listeners can take away. And also thanks for appearing on our show once again. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and how we can find you online.
Great. Well, one thing that I'm grateful for is I get the joy of living in Hawaii, which is awesome. Oh, beautiful. Nice. Place to live. And you can find me by going to JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. Again, that's JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. And on there, I have the free blog I mentioned on the guide to building a successful team. And if you sign up for my mailing list, I have a free gift coming up, which I'll announce later. And also let you know my new book is out called Spiritual and Broke. It's basically how to work with the money side when you're bringing your service to the world. So all that's upcoming, and I hope you get a chance to check me out. Thank you.
Awesome. So there you go, Action Tribe. You know, this was totally a synchronicity. You know, the fact that you're writing the book and the fact that I reached out to you, you know, to chat about this particular topic, you know, it seems like it was meant to happen. And I've also spoken to my community recently to understand what are some of the topics that they'd like to listen to. And many of them have said that they'd like to learn more about entrepreneurship, you know, creating a business, scaling and growing a business. So it seems, you know, like the right moment. Action Tribe, if you want to learn more about this topic and if you want to stay in the know about Jennifer's new book, then you need to go to JenniferNoelleTaylor.com. That's where you can sign up and learn how to, you know, become financially independent ultimately. So Jennifer, thank you so much for coming to our show the second time, talking to us about entrepreneurship and growing your business and overcoming challenges and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I love your show and I really appreciate the opportunity to come on, and thank you.
You are listening to My Seven Chakras. Go to mysevenchakras.com. Download your free gift, get inspired, and take action. Transform your life today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save